Joseph, what's up?
How's it going, man? I like the defense today.
Yeah, defense was good.
Equally helped by State's bad shooting, but...
They didn't do themselves any favors, that's for sure.
But I thought Mark Williams was big, rim protector. Breakfield, I thought, had some good minutes. Finishing should be a little bit better, but brought the good energy. Overall, good team winning. Glad to be back in the win column.
Absolutely. Scott, what's up, man?
We really got to talk about this. This was the worst game I've seen all year. This was terrible. But I did a pregame one earlier, and we were talking about how NC State has not, like, won the second half since their Campbell game. They played Campbell at the beginning of the year.
And really?
We won the second half of this game, so small victories.
Well, yeah. You got to take the victories where you can. Definitely didn't. Definitely didn't win the first half. I think that's what set you guys back a little bit.
No. So here's my question: is this more about how bad NC State is, or is this more about what Duke has failed to do thus far of the season?
I mean, it's a little bit of both. I mean, I don't think. You guys didn't really do a whole lot. Wasn't a lot of resistance in that first half. It just shows what we can do, but what we fail to do consistently, I think, especially on defense, man.
I mean, I can tell you personally, offensively, NC State all year has just been – it's rough. It's just
really?
It's high pick and roll. It's Iverson cut side pick and roll. I mean,
not a whole lot of variety to it.
No, I mean, it's just like, I mean, the way I kind of say it is you have to optimize each player. Each player has a strength that they're good at something. For example, we're shooters. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're capable of coming off pick and roll, but would you rather come off a down screen or a stagger screen?
Yeah, for sure.
And that's just kind of how it is. I just feel like we kind of assume that everybody's the same player when they're not, and we just run pick and roll, high pick and roll all day. So,
yeah, and in college, it's just not gonna work the same. You know, like pick and rolls are great in the NBA because there's just so much space, and
yeah,
you know, you can't sit in camp anywhere. Whereas in college. I can sit and camp in the paint, and then, you know, the pick and roll can be nullified. In college, you definitely need more movement off the ball and things like that to keep people occupied.
Yeah. So with Duke moving forward, does this change maybe your opinion of the team? Obviously, they've struggled, but does this give you a little bright outlook, or are you still kind of like they got a lot more to prove?
I mean, it's good, obviously, but I mean, you know, we did the same thing against Clemson, right? And
yeah,
then we're like, okay, here we go, we're turning the corner, and then lay an egg at Miami, can't stop Notre Dame or Carolina. So, I mean, yeah, it's good. You always like to see it. You love to see that kind of effort, defense. Like, we kept the turnovers down a little bit. I mean, it's still a problem, but it's always good. But, you know, the next thing is stringing that together over the next few games because, you know, they're going to have to do a lot, if not win the ACC tournament to extend the season.
Yeah, I wish I had the opportunity to say we could extend the season because I don't think the only thing we're extending right now is the fan base getting a little bit frustrated.
So. Yeah, I saw a few fans on your Twitter replying on your Twitter and not very happy.
Yeah, it's just getting frustrating because at the beginning of the year, I mean, it was very hopeful. I mean, we had some solid players coming on. We thought it would, you know, mix. Obviously, losing our best player doesn't help. But
yeah,
and at the end of the day, it's not so much, you know, being really good, but it's games like this where you want to look competitive. You want to have
yeah, absolutely
high energy. You know, you want to
put your best foot forward, and it just looks like that. I mean, and don't get me wrong. I can remember we played Wisconsin in the Big Ten ACC Classic when I was a freshman or sophomore, and we got waxed by like 35. And I just felt like everybody just quit. Like,
was it at Wisconsin? You're not winning at Wisconsin.
Yeah, and so it just felt like everybody just kind of quit on the team. And I just, for me personally, and especially now watching it, and obviously, you know, the basketball knowledge that we have, it just looks like it wasn't there. Like, they just kind of checked out, you know?
Yeah, I can feel that. I think that's one of the things that makes, coaching more difficult than you give it credit for. A lot of times from the outside looking in, you know, you just think, oh, you're going to get guys to come out and play hard and blah, 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 and it's just X's and O's. But, if you lose a team, it's hard, you know, to get it back. And you can't explain how much that affects the product that gets put out on the court. When a team – and I don't know that Keats has lost the team. I can't say that because I'm not in the locker room, but, you know, it gets difficult, man, to keep a team engaged, especially when things are not going your way.
Yeah. All right. You're getting some questions. Someone asked why Jalen Johnson isn't starting and is getting limited minutes.
Ooh, I think because Mark's been playing well. Mark's been doing his thing, and Matt is kind of a non-negotiable. You know, he has to be on the court, and I don't think they want to go with a three big lineup. There's only, 80 minutes between those two spots, and so they're just trying to figure that out. So I think that's what's going on. Bobby, what's up, man? Bobby,
you in here?
Oh, almost had something. All right,
Bobby, you there? Yo.
All right, there he is.
Hey, what's up,
Bobby?
What's up? Man? How y'all?
Doing all right. How about you?
I'd be a lot better, you know, but.
Oh, you're a Wolfpack fan?
This is my guy. So Bobby and Anderson come in. We do a few pregame and break down some pregame.
Okay.
So they're in my crew. So I'm interested to see what he says here.
Contest though.
Say that again. Say that one more time.
I'd love to see you and Scott in a 3-point shooting contest though.
I'd love to see it too. I'm going with me. Oh, speaking of Scott, my guy Sean Kelly told me to remind you about 2013 barnstorming. He said he beat you in a 3-point contest.
Oh man. I don't even remember that far back. That was my senior year. I don't even remember that far back, man. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I've had my fair share of 3-point wins. So, I mean, I'm kind of satisfied, but it's always the ones. It's like, I was working out some kid the other day and he's beat me one out of like 400 games, but if you were to talk to him at that one game,
that was the one.
Oh my gosh, brutal. So Bobby, what'd you think of the game?
It's the same old stuff, man. We don't, there's no offense whatsoever. It's a high ball screen at the beginning of the possession. It's a half-ass screen. Don't really do anything after that. The turnovers the last two games have been unreal. Just turning the ball over time and time again. We talked about that in the pregame, like looking at Cam saying, okay, Goldwire and some other veteran defenders going to be on you. How are you going to handle that? Obviously didn't. Bad passes. Manny, we also said this in the pregame, that Manny's going to have or be undersized for once, and Manny looked like a deer in the headlights. You know, that guy from Duke, 7-footer, Mark Williams, that his name?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, props to him. He played well. Defensively, you know, bad rotations. Hurt shot the lights out of it, so credit to him too. But the same old stuff.
I mean, 19 turnovers for NC State. I mean, 2 of 9 from the 3-point line. It was just, I mean.
So
40 turnovers in their last two games.
Yeah, that's not going to win you. That's not going to win you a whole lot of games.
That's an understatement. That's an understatement. Jeez. But see, this is what we got. This is what we've been watching, man. And it's just
not really.
Like, listen, if you wasn't coming on, I probably would have just. I would have called my buddy who has a golf simulator and just went.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's nice. That get some frustration out on the golf ball.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Daniel Greer got a good question because I was going to ask you this. He asked over under 6 more years for Coach K.
I say under.
I said pregame because we brought it up. I said this will be his last full recruiting class.
The one coming in or this?
No, year? This class. This freshman
oh,
class.
You mean like this? This will be the last senior class, right?
Yeah.
I can see that. I can see that for sure.
I mean, you would know more than I do, but I just see it as, you know, just the ups and downs this year, and then he would see, you know, positivity out of taking this freshman class and then turning them into something really good and then leaving on a high note.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't see him having a ton more years. But you never know.
So that's another question. Daniel Greer on top of it. So who replaces him?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think it's a timing thing. I think it depends on what year he leaves and who's hot at the moment, you know? Like, it's tough.
Do you want it to stay in-house?
I think that first one probably will. And then that's the problem is that first one, like, it's not a good job for the first guy, you know, because it's so much pressure. You're the first new coach in what will be like 50 years. You know, you got to follow the guy with the most wins ever, the most this, the most that. His name's on the court. His name's on the practice facility. Like,
hey, listen, if they offered me the job, I'd take it. I'm not gonna.
Oh no, I mean, you can't turn it down. It's there's just no way to live up to that.
But see, I could look at it as the flip side in that you know he's gonna leave you in good shape. So whatever he does, you know that program's gonna be obviously. Say he left this year, this would be the worst year he's had ever. You know what I'm saying? So you know. He's going to leave you good pieces and good – and all you got to do is kind of just
– well, yeah, I mean
– springboard it, but just take it and kind of run. And then you have the Duke name.
Yeah, I mean, when I say it's not a good job, I don't mean like initially because, you know, initially you're going to have a lot of talent. And, you know, I would assume the first couple years you'll be all right. It's the years after that. It's kind of like the Dean Smith effect at Carolina where, you know, the first couple years you'll be fine because you got great players. But then you have to continue to recruit and continue to build that that same kind of base that coaches, you know, have been able to build over the last 40-something years.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than some alternatives. I mean, I could offer you where NC State has left a few programs and you can pick up from there. So,
yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely it's not the worst. I mean, it's a bit of an exaggeration saying it's not a bad job. It's a great job, obviously.
It's a high pressure job to replace somebody that was that prominent.
Right. So it's long. Not like, you know, CC at Northwestern where it's like, you know, we haven't been to the tournament since the tournament's been a thing. So, you know, if you take us to the tournament one time and you're pretty much locked in for life because you've already done more than any coach in the history of the program. Like, you know, so
I see that. I see my philosophy is it has to be somebody that was groomed by Coach K in my mind.
Yeah, probably. And, you know, you have a lot of options. You got your Wojo, you got CC, you got JD, you got Hurley. That's why I think it's a timing thing. I think it's going to be whoever's hot at the moment, you know, whoever just made a cool little run in the tournament or something, got to the Sweet 16 and something like that, and it's the hot name. Obviously, Coach will have a big input on it. And But it'll be interesting because Duke's getting a new athletic director. Dr. White's retiring in August, so it'll be a new AD's hire. It'll be interesting. And Anderson, what's up, man? Mike check, 1-2-1-2.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on now.
Yeah.
Let's go. Scott, what'd you think about those inbound plays?
Oh my God.
He's a big fan, clearly.
Here's my big issue, and Andre can contest to this. When you have timeouts or you have out of bounds plays when the ball is stopped, these are good times to execute. I feel like we're doing ourselves a disservice right now with coming out of timeout and just running a high pick and roll. Like, this is where you instantly can increase your chances of scoring probably 30% just because you know exactly what you're going to run, exactly how to set it up, exactly what they've been playing defense. And I think Duke today was going 2-3. Is it a 2-3 on the inbounds pass?
Under out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they go 2-3 under out. They do the Carolina thing.
Yeah, so obviously it's hard to get anything moving, but to have three consecutive turnovers on it is just – I mean, at that point, I would just say, hey, somebody go all the way on the other end and just get the ball in bounds so we can run something.
Yeah. I mean, as shooters, I'm sure you're the same. I love ATOs just because, it's a chance to run something a little different that the defense hasn't seen and, get a shot off, for a shooter. So yeah, I'm sure being a shooter like you are, it's frustrating to see nothing come out of those because you can get. I mean, how many timeouts are there, and how many opportunities do you get a game to get to steal a few points? You can steal 6 to 12 points if you execute ATOs, and that can change the game.
Right. Yeah.
Under our own basket. For 4 years, we haven't run anything out of a timeout or even just a regular stoppage of play under our own basket. It's just try to get open, I guess, and send somebody to the half court line and just try to heave it. And that's exactly what we did 3 times in a row, all 3 turnovers.
Well, it's impressive. It's impressive. Kay was the first one to notice that that's the only thing we do.
Yeah,
it's taken 4 years.
Well, I mean, here's my thing, and I'm going to assume I've seen maybe 2 other Duke games this year. I'm assuming that they've ran the 2-3 underneath for part of the game. So my logic as a head coach is I see this. I'm going to know exactly what they're doing. They're probably going to put the big on the ball to make it a tough pass like UNC as always does. Mm-hmm. So where can I gain an advantage? And that's where you need to take maybe 15 minutes out of practice, put the scout team in some type of 2-3, put the biggest man on the ball, and draw 2 or 3 plays up that you can run to get an easy basket.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I 100% agree.
So, Andre, this is a question for you.
That's clearly a misstep in scouting. Yeah.
So, like I said, watching Coach Keats for 4 years now and watching you play at Duke and Coach K even past you, whatever – I'm assuming out of inbounds under your own basket, Coach K didn't just say, get open. There was something structured.
No, we had all kinds of plays for under out of bounds. We had lobs. We had, depending on personnel who was in, there's play for me to get a 3 a couple different ways. So, yeah, we had a few different plays. And, for the Carolina defense, we did have a set that was basically just designed to get it in bounds and then, try and take advantage of them being, kind of a bit out of sorts.
Yeah. I mean, that just makes sense, though. If my point guard's taking the ball out of some bounds and you got a 7-footer trying to make it hard for my point guard, there's going to be a mismatch somewhere.
Right, yeah, because, we would try and do – it was kind of just to get it in, but then get the guard to that corner and then have, you know, that 1-5 or 2-5 matchup in the corner and try and take advantage of that there.
Yeah, because it seems like Coach Keats, like, if we were running something structured and it didn't work, then whatever. But it's not even, like, structured. It's just kind of, like I said, just get open.
Yeah. I obviously don't watch a lot of NC State basketball, so I don't know. But it seems like you guys have had this frustration for longer than just a couple of games now.
Yeah, let me get this off my chest. this is what this is, right? Trust me. Everybody, about 60,000 fans are just like, let me get this on my chest real quick. Cause that, I mean, 69-53. Hey, they won the second half though. So, hey,
right,
they won the second half.
By what? What was it? What were we up?
2 points.
Had to be two.
Solid.
30-32.
Nice.
Duke finished
nice.
On the magic number though, 69.
There yeah. we go.
Nice. Oh, obligatory nice. Let me see if anybody else wants to jump in here. See if we can get some Duke fans in here, man. NC State's bringing us down.
They don't want to hear about anything because they won by 40, so they don't or they don't have any need to come on.
They're used to the success.
Yeah. It's just – I wish you could come and live a day in these shoes. And,
I mean, we haven't exactly been ourselves, so, I mean.
Oh, but see, this has turned into the expectation almost.
Absolutely.
Daniel, what's going on, man?
Not much, man.
I'm doing all right. Everyone
it depends. It depends who you ask, Daniel. Man, it depends who you ask.
So am I a bad fan if I haven't watched the last two Duke games just because it's just I'm just frustrated, I guess.
Well, I didn't watch Notre Dame one just because I don't have ACC Network and I'm not going to pay for it. But I'll. I guess you're kind of a bad fan because you know you got. You gotta stick it out, man. You gotta just stick it out.
The answer is no. No, you're not a bad guy.
I guarantee he came back and would check on him. You can't watch every game. I didn't watch the whole Syracuse game the other day.
The question is, I'm not watching because I'm doing something. I'm busy. I'm being a father. I'm working. Blase, blase. Or was it, I'm not watching because I hate watching you?
No, it has nothing to do with not watching. I want to watch, but as in my picture, those two crazies drive me crazy. that happens in life. But it's cold here. My wife needs me to run a bunch of errands before it snows. So.
Oh well, then yeah, that's if life gets in the way.
That makes you a better person than a fan.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Being on the golf course is also an acceptable answer.
Yes, it is. On the golf course with the game on your phone or on the radio or whatever is acceptable. Absolutely.
There we go. I've done that.
But if you're down 10 plus in the second half, you can turn it off and turn some music on for sure.
10? That's it?
Yeah, in the second half. Well, actually, no, Scott. Well, Scott would know this firsthand. Being up 10 or even 20 in Cameron is not a safe lead.
Oh my goodness!
Andre,
those are some middle school memories we don't want to relive right now.
Listen,
which might be dating you a little bit.
That started the curse of the black jerseys.
Listen, let's go back to that game. That's a good.
Oh
game.
Yeah,
that was a great game. So we get up, jump off to a big lead. Yeah. You know, make some shots, get hot. We go in the locker room. It's like 130 in there.
Mm-hmm. So we come back. Gotta be.
We come back out, and I will tell you to this day, and I'm curious to know because you've played in many Cameron where the crazies get loud. I couldn't talk to Lorenzo, and he was right next to me.
Yeah, no, that was a wild one. That Cameron was really, really going because it was just. Like, I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm pretty sure Scott was at the free throw line. He made up 18, makes two, And I look up and I'm like, oh shit, we're down 20. And all I can think about is practice the next day. Like, dude, practice is, this is going to be terrible. Like, we got to do something. And then, well, I mean, it just started to snowball. And, you know, you go on a little run. Can't, like, that's the thing that's great about Cameron is they're always there. So even down 20, they're still there. And then once we get on a little bit of a run, they get behind us. We probably got a few favorable calls because refs love, you know, refs love for fans to give a nice cheer when they're on a run and they make a cool call and it's like, ooh, home team ball.
I like how he just slowly slid that CJ Leslie and Richard had some unfavorable calls on
him. I wish I could have screen recorded that.
Keep going.
That,
so no, yeah, there you go. Expose yourself.
No, hey, look, I don't make the calls, you know, so I don't. But I do think refs tend to lean towards the home team when momentum is going that way.
It was the way you explained it is snowball. It was the weirdest.
Yeah.
To this day, was one of the like funnest, weirdest, most awful game I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, and yeah, so we start hitting some shots. Cameron starts going crazy. We're all human, so I'm sure that had some kind of effect on you guys. Where, like you said, you can't even talk to the guy next to you, and you know it's probably hard to think. And we don't have to think. We just get to run around and throw up shots, and it seems like everything's going in. And then, down 20, second half, come back, win, you know, no problem. Practice was a little bit easier the next day.
And I think they won by, like, y'all ended up winning by, like, 6 or 7.
Yeah, it was insane.
But, listen, I do remember that. All of a sudden, they started making shots. All of a sudden, they started getting a little bit of call. And then we got CJ Leslie fouled out with, like, 6 to go. And then Richard fouled out with, like, 5 to go. And we're just kind of looking at each other. I love my boy Vandenberg or whoever was next in line, but I think Vandenberg came in or somebody, and that's just we kind of looked at each other like this is not good for us.
Yeah. Like, so what's the mindset on the other side of that for you guys?
I mean, that's one game that I'm just sitting there and I'm just like we literally felt like it was falling apart. And you know how you try to stop the bleed? You know, like a lot of teams will just compound mistakes after mistakes after mistakes. But I felt like y'all just started making so many shots. We were still trying to execute our stuff. The defensive intensity picked up to the point where we were just struggling. And then when we just lost our bigs, it was like, okay, now we got to deal with Mason down low.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like, what can we do? And then I remember every time – so Mason and me played AAU till we got in dang near high school. And I've almost went up to him every game. That's probably the only game I never went to find him after the game. I went straight to the bus. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm going straight to the bus.
Yeah,
I remember my dad let me stay up late that night because, you know, Bobby, where were we, like in 7th grade then?
No, that was like our 8th grade freshman year of high school.
Yeah, well, I stayed up late, and I thought we were going to win, and Lorenzo Brown had that dunk. That's the only thing I really remember from that game.
So I'll take part of the blame for this because I was watching it with a Duke fan of mine, and I was talking so much shit.
Oh, no.
And
that was probably the sweetest, like, that was probably so sweet for them to just watch y'all give it all back like that.
It's
in my defense, I think I only I didn't win at Cameron, but I'm trying to think, I may have only lost once or I didn't lose it all at home.
Y'all lost your sophomore year. Yeah, y'all lost your sophomore or my sophomore year. We beat y'all.
So my sophomore year or junior year, whatever it was.
Yeah.
One time.
We lost in the RBC Center, not PNC, Scott.
It changed the name and it changed the outcome.
It changed the vibes. Yeah, I remember
Scott, that video you hit that or having that 4-point play was floating around a lot pregame today.
Oh, yeah, that was brought up. Who was that? Thornton?
Maybe.
Scott was talking trash when he hit that shot too.
He was
always talking, man.
I only talk. I only talk when I talk to the referees a lot. But
absolutely.
I only started getting going when somebody like mentioned something, and I remember he said something on one end of the floor, and they had just made a run. It was like we might have been down like 8 or something, and he had just mentioned something, and right when I hit it and he fouled me, I said something like, you're too small to guard me or something.
Ooh.
And we kind of got into it, and they ended up giving us they gave us a double tech.
They gave you a tech, right?
And it was my only technical of like my career until I turned pro, and I got like 5 or 6.
that's me basically. I'm the same way. I got so many techs as a pro and none in college, because it's like as a pro you get like that little bit of freedom. It's just too much. In college, it's always like, ooh, I might get in trouble, but then you turn pro and you just stop caring.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. Like, all right, just take a little bit of fine out of my account.
Yeah, like whatever, dude. Especially like in the G League, because it's like $50. You're like, all right, whatever, man.
But yeah, I didn't say much. And I mean, it was just that. But we went on a run after that, which was beneficial.
Yeah, Scott isn't exactly one of the guys that I would recommend doing a lot of talking to. just like, because I know myself, I'm a shooter just like Scott. But it's just like shooters can change the game so quickly that it's like, just leave them alone.
You just don't need to wake them up.
Just be quiet. You know, if he's shooting bad, don't remind him. Like, let him just keep shooting bad, and that's fine. Because it's only
an extra point, but just a three can silence a crowd so quickly. And Duke's done that so many times. You know, we come out of a timeout.
Yeah, but it's not. It's that and just with the way Scott was able to shoot and how they used him, the whole thing can change quickly. You can be up 3 and down 6 in 3 possessions. Like,
yeah.
That's insane.
So you're making me miss college now, man.
No, I miss it too.
You turn pro and they don't run any more plays for you.
No, that's it. That's it.
They tell you to stand in the corner.
Yeah. Oh, I think Jamie. Sorry, we were reminiscing a bit. What's going on, man?
What's going on, man? I'm just listening, soaking it all in. Enjoying the convo.
Okay. Did you have any thoughts on the game?
I had a great game today. I think we really turned our defense around. I was kind of aggravated after we played Notre Dame, put up 89 points and still lose. That's pretty aggravating. But I feel like we got it together today. And, I mean, I don't really have any questions today. I guess I'll go off of what Daniel said earlier. He put it in the chat. He said, how well do you know Todd Grayson? And I guess that kind of goes with mine. I was going to say, what does the brotherhood really mean to you? And do you actually talk to any of the younger players, or did any of the older players reach out to you, whatever you got to do?
Well, the brotherhood, it's cool because, you know, hopefully you've gotten to get anyone who listens to my podcast, you've gotten to get a bit of a sense of it. Just in that, it's cool because, like, Gerald's one of my good friends, and we never played, you know, we never stepped foot on the court together. And I think I talked about it with Shimon, how, like, you know, I had a pre-draft workout in Charlotte, and, you know, Gerald hit me up, like, hey, come over the night before, had dinner, stole a bunch of shoes out of his closet and things like that. And so that's kind of what it is to me, where you have this bond with guys that's like you played with them, but you never did. And so that's kind of what it is to me.
Right.
That's awesome, man. Did you happen to text Coach today and wish him a happy birthday? Or?
I need to. I didn't want to text him before the game. I know he's busy and locked in. So now that they got the win, I'll definitely shoot him a text and say happy birthday.
Absolutely. I know I know he was really wanting that one today. And yeah. I felt like he was going to get it. It was his birthday. He usually don't like to lose on his birthday.
No, I think he's like 10-4 now, so that's solid. Solid record.
Solid, man. Appreciate you having me, Dre.
Yeah, absolutely.
So would you have texted him if they would have lost?
Oof.
I was about to ask the same thing.
Well, luckily we don't have to worry about that. So. I don't know. That would have been a game time decision for sure.
Oh, shoot.
When is Pete's birthday? Are you going to text him for his?
Probably not. Probably not.
Well, Sky, are you still in the RDU area?
Yeah, I'm just south of Raleigh. You know where Apex is, right?
Yeah.
I'm right next to Apex.
Oh, okay.
You?
Okay. No, I'm in Oklahoma, man. Selling houses.
Oh, my gosh. Oklahoma?
Yeah, wifey works at OU, so we're up here.
Yeah, man. So what are you doing now?
Selling real estate. Well,
oh, dude, I'm a lender.
I'm a realtor. Oh, what?
Yeah. Crazy. Dude. I don't know how much business I can refer you out there, but I can actually lend in every state too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Look at that. Business opportunities. Even though my team got beat by 30, I got business opportunities.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hopefully we get back to that area and then we can really get some business going.
Well, with your name and you would thrive out here for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back there. But yeah. Whenever I do come back, we got to get out and play some golf.
All right.
What's your handicap at?
I'm at a 10-4 right now.
Okay, so I'm going to have to give you some strokes.
Ooh. Damn. Ooh.
Wow.
No, that's just facts. I'm not like way better, but I'm at like, I think I'm at like 5-6 right now or something like that.
Ooh, golly. Whoa. How long have you been playing?
Since senior year is the weirdest thing. I had open elective slot senior year, and it was golf or fly fishing. I went with golf and got the bug, and that was it.
It's definitely an addiction.
Oh my god, it's the worst. It's the worst. It's such a stupid game.
Well, I can tell you, I'm on the rise. I'm getting better. But my problem is my tee shot. I don't hit a driver. I hit a 2-iron off the tee.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could get just a little more yardage off the tee, I'd be all right. I'm not bad. I shot a 80 the other night in 45 in rain. So
that's real good.
But I also have to say this in my defense. So I'm a member at 12 Oaks, which is right in Holly Springs.
Oh, you're fancy.
Yeah, and it's probably one of the hardest courses I've ever played.
It's such a hard course.
Okay. I've played Torrey Pines. I've played Pinehurst number 2, Pinehurst number 4.
I did number 2 one time.
You name it, 12 Oaks is more difficult than that.
Really?
It's crazy hard. But,
it's sandbagging your handicap then.
It is, 100%. I played a 2 the other day. I played a 2 the other day and beat them, but I don't think they were really a 2.
I don't understand that. Why do people want to be lower? I want to be higher.
Yeah. Well,
it's going to be lower.
There's so many people that want to look good at their clubs, and then they play in tournaments with that 2 handicap. And they
it just kills you. It kills you.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, my conference championship was at 12 Oaks my senior year. Shot my best round on 9, shot 1-under on the front, shot 50 on the back.
Oh my gosh.
Such a damn hard course.
And the back is the easiest in my opinion, which is the crazy.
I know. Nothing's easy out there. Yeah, it's always muddy, it seems.
When you come in town, like even if it's for a few days, just bring your sticks and we'll come play 12 Oaks.
Oh, for sure. I'm always looking for an excuse. I'm slowly but surely turning my podcast into a golf podcast. So,
how about this? Just we'll do a business expense, and you just fly in. And say we're doing business.
Yeah,
we've already got it figured out. Say you got a lender on the hook. I got a realtor on the hook. We got an excuse.
Perfect. Yeah, it's prospecting.
Yeah, exactly. Got to.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, I'm going to hop off here, though. We'll be in touch. Congratulations to Duke. Happy birthday, Coach K. Hopefully NC State can turn it around a little bit.
Yeah, hopefully we can keep it going. Appreciate you hopping on. And I am out as well. Hopefully we get another one next time out.
All right, man. Talk to you.
Dre and Scott. Yeah, appreciate you guys.
Yep.